from the podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. It's Grant's Rants Small Talk.
Let the ranting begin. I am joined by a New Jersey superfan and one of the co-hosts over on the popular Reality Rundown podcast. Paul Royston is on. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Grant. Wow, that introduction. I'm like, that's such an honor.
I know. I miss talking with you. I haven't seen you this year yet, so.
I know. And this is like the perfect day to catch up and talk about everything because, you know, I feel passionately about, you know, my Jersey girls, so I'm ready to dive in with that.
You know, I felt bad earlier. We were texting, and I was like, oh, I suffered through that first part of the reunion. But then I thought about it, and I walked to my car, and I was like, BS, you enjoyed it, and I actually really didn't mind it that much. I had a hard time watching it because I had a meeting. Shh, don't tell anyone. I had a meeting I had to go to, and I was, like, rushing to get through it because I was down to, like, 2 minutes, and I just wanted to finish it, you know? I was like, I don't want to go to this meeting until I finish this show because I just want to get this done. But I did, for anyone listening, I did go to the meeting, and I came back and finished the show, but it was just, like, a mad dash to try to get it done in time. But that's my own personal story.
You feel fulfilled, you know, after watching it. You're like, all right, now, you know, my housewives, I'm all caught up. You know, I said right now it's Atlanta, Beverly Hills, and, you know, New Jersey. So I said it's, you know, in rotation, always got to catch up and make sure I'm on the same page as everybody else.
Yeah, I'm a little behind. I've been doing a little bit of selective viewership lately. And in fact, I was texting with our friend Amanda, also on Paul's podcast, and I was saying, I'm not prioritizing certain shows like I used to. I'm just,
I know.
I'm just not.
I said, sadly, Beverly Hills is one of them I'm watching, but they're pulling me along very slowly. It's not something that I'm excited to watch.
Yeah. But you're the perfect person to join me for this recap for Jersey. For as long as I've known you, you've celebrated and loved the show. So why not talk to you about it? You've been on Grant's Rants before. I've had the pleasure of being on your show. So it just makes sense.
Of course.
It just makes sense.
And you know I'm a Jersey boy at heart and a Teresa loyalist, so and Margaret, I live for a good Margaret. So
me too. How do you feel about Teresa's gone blonde? How do you feel?
Blonde bombshell. She knocked it out the park. I'm loving the look. I said she looks more and more refreshed every time you see her again, like in her interviews. I said she's always upping, you know, the notch for these confessionals. I love the high pony, and I feel like the blonde was like a slow process, like. She was giving us like hints all season that this dramatic, you know, blonde was coming because, you know, you could see it was like slowly, you know, coming in there every confessional. So I'm loving it.
Yeah, I like the look. I think all the ladies looks pretty good. You know, I'm a little biased against Siggy. I don't know if she was trying to channel one of the Disney characters, but everyone looked good. You know, I don't like the attitude. A woman in a nice dress is attractive, but when they have a bad attitude, they lose some points with me. You know what I mean?
Well, Soggy has lost all points with me this season. So, and we had Margaret on our, you know, the Reality Rundown, and we chatted with her and just the stuff that, you know, she was talking about that Soggy was doing. It just bad taste in my mouth. And I wasn't a diehard fan of her first season that she came on, but she totally lost me. I'm like, it's too much. I don't even understand where it came from. It's just kind of out there.
I totally agree. It's too much. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be emotional, but that's another to be so retaliatory and pulling strings behind the scenes and, you know, angry at Bravo and all this stuff. I mean, you know, come on. At what point is it making her look worse than everybody else? She's trying to make everyone else look bad, but she's looking worse.
And I said my thought process is if Bravo's announcing that you're not going to be a housewife before the reunion even airs, you know something really bad happened for them to go out and say that. So
I think it all has to do with her. I think it all has to do with something she broke, a breach of something, or, you know, she's the problem.
So. She's been so vocal too, so I feel like that was their way of like just shutting her up and saying, hey, we're just parting ways with you, and it is what it is.
I would love to know some behind the scenes tea on what exactly how she's been to Bravo, not only executives but how she was with production. Like, you know, that we've, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've said it on this show, I don't think we've ever seen an announcement like this. Maybe Gina Keough in her final season when she just up and left because of contracts. But like, I don't feel like we've never had anything like this where before the reunion wraps, they're already making casting decisions. So something's there.
Yeah, I was going to say the only one that I can remember too is Dina season two, where she just upped and left too. But it seems like that can't happen anymore. I feel like they put like something in their contracts now where they're like, you can't just up and leave that season anymore. Yeah. And Kim Zolciak too.
Oh yeah, her, yeah. So yeah, they'd be smart to protect themselves. So let's talk about it. Jacqueline made an appearance, not really, but in conversation. Teresa came for her right away, and she's really out. She just wants to see some blood with Danielle. And I mean, I love Danielle, but I've been wanting to see some blood be drawn myself, whoever's on the receiving end.
Yeah, I'm a little, I love Danielle this season. I feel like she was holding back. I'm like, I want old school Danielle, and I don't want her and Teresa fighting because I'm very happy at the place that they are. I have an issue with the whole Teresa having to sit down with her daughters and talk about it, because we've seen Danielle countless times kind of laugh about it now because it's such a, you know, the table flips a pop culture phenomenon. But I feel like, you know, at one minute you're laughing about the whole table flip, and then now you want to have a sit down with your daughters and apologize. I'm just not, you know what I mean? I'm just not finding where are we drawing the line at?
Yeah. And something that hasn't been highlighted is when Danielle was off the show for many years, she was on Twitter every night and the week after, just bashing everybody on it, bashing the parenting, bashing the children, how bad the seasons are. And she made a lot of valid points, but all that stuff kind of has gone away. Like, no one said, you know what, you were a real bitch to me on social media, and you sent people after me, and you know, you talked about us, you talked to my family, you didn't even know me, you know. No one's calling her out about any of that. It's just like they're painting her as like this person who just kind of came back into the circle, and we both know that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, there's so much dirt and underlying things in there. And I live for Danielle, trust me. I said I love the duo of Teresa and her, and I think it's really great. I'm totally – I've heard from some people that she definitely is going to be full-time next season. So I'm happy about that. I don't know if it's been like a final decision, but she's offered everything that deserves a full-time slot. But I don't know if you saw, but Jacqueline was sounding off on Twitter last night about it.
What did she say? I didn't see.
She was saying how, I got to pull it up, but it was something along the lines like, oh, you know, someone tweeted that they were very disappointed not to see her. And she was saying that they didn't want her on, or if she came on, you know, she'd tell the truth and tell it like it is.
Ugh. And then we've seen it. We've seen her try to do that for years. I'm okay leaving her behind. But
I saw also too that they're saying that producers want a huge New Jersey shakeup, and they're saying that they want Caroline to come back and they want Jacqueline to come back. So
I saw that today. And so that's why Jonathan Melton and my friend Nick Barbati, who both appeared on this recap podcast, they both said that they think that they're trying to make way for Jacqueline and one of the Manzos to come on. So that's why they're downplaying Danielle, and that's why they cut Danielle's engagement, and she also had that bathroom sex scene that they cut. So I don't like that they're cutting her. You know, I mean, they even introduced her at the reunion as this big fan favorite. Everyone was asking, like, let's play her out. Like, you know, she's here. Fans have waited almost like, you know, 8 years for this. Like, let's
I did enjoy
see
that.
Yeah.
See, I was one of those people who was tweeting when the seasons were airing saying, where's Danielle Staub? So
yeah, me too.
I was happy to see her back, but I totally agree with your friends and you about how they're setting things up. I feel like it only makes sense now to really take it back old school and really rehash things that kind of were just, you know, surface. We didn't dig deep into real deep-rooted issues.
They're gonna have to throw a lot of money at Caroline though, because she doesn't need to do it, and I know she doesn't want to. So the only way they can bait her, unfortunately, is if they bring on that daughter of hers, and then she said she would
do
it.
No, thank you.
So, I mean, you know, yeah, so unfortunately, I think someone's going to have to pay the price, and it'll probably be the viewer. So,
but I said it even makes sense with Dolores, too, because, you know, let Ziggy go. But I said Dolores, she made an appearance, I think, season two as Caroline's friend for a brief scene. So I said all of the people on the current cast now, minus Ziggy and plus Caroline and Jacqueline, that would be a great cast because they all have so much history together. So,
yeah, and with the touch of Margaret having a new face, a new energy, it's actually a really good balance. It would make sense for them to do that. And I think, honestly, Paul, it's like a last-ditch effort for me for Jersey. If they bring back the Manzos and all those people and they try to go back, if that doesn't work, then I don't know what the future is for this show because they've tried many different directions. They say it's the hardest show to cast. You know, certain shows run their course. And I know, if it's not going to happen with them, then when is it going to happen?
I'm not willing to accept that, Grant. I'm not willing.
I don't want to see a show's canceled. I don't. And it would be a huge blow if it was. But, I mean, you know, what are we doing with the show? It's been kind of floating out there for a long time, in my opinion. It's been floating out there damaged and wounded for a while.
See, I enjoyed this season more than I enjoyed last season. And the season with the twins and Amber, looking back, that really just was like, out of this world, kind of like there was no real connection with any of that. Mm-hmm. And then I said at least last season, you know, Jacqueline came back. So it kind of, I said, this is the era of bringing back old school housewives that, you know, we hated or maybe we didn't enjoy at the time. And they come back and, you know, now we're like, oh, we might, because I personally don't like Jacqueline or Caroline on the show, but I think at this point in time, it would be great for them to come back.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for Jacqueline, but I'm okay. Well, I'd be tempted for Caroline. I'd be tempted because I haven't heard from her. I haven't seen her. You know, Manzo with Children has been off now for 2 years. Like, I haven't, I'm a little curious to see what's going on.
Which is
on.
A good thing.
Oh, yeah. That is a good thing. Whew, we got covered that with some friends at AfterBuzz. That was really a painful experience. really bad. Well, let's
see. I just can't have them come after Teresa. That's the only issue. If they do, then you know, then it goes back to how it was in the beginning, and that's where it got really repetitive. So, hopefully, that doesn't happen.
I don't know what the future is, but Margaret, I'm playing my money behind her for the future.
For sure.
She did not bring the pigtails, so she did not have pigtails in her hair, but we learned that you can get pigtail extensions.
Yes.
And they showed her little intro video and package, talked about her kids, and I felt so sad. She's like, you know, I would take anything. I'd even take crumbs at this point from them.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said they watched the show, and I was hoping that would open a door, even a crack, you know, just the exposure of her being on the show. I thought it would help maybe even the smallest bit.
Yeah. I feel really bad for her because, I mean, when I watch, I said this season was actually pretty emotional. And, you know, there's only certain moments in Housewives history that I've actually been like, oh, wow, this is upsetting. It was, you know, Vicki Gumbelson's mom. It was Teresa coming home from prison. And I said, I feel like the wreath ceremony and, you know, obviously Teresa, you know, his relationship with her dad and, you know, talking about her mom, but also, you know, how open Margaret was about talking about how much she missed her kids and that relationship. I was like, it really like struck nerves. It was really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of people have said that in this recap. You know, it is. Compared to other shows which are all full of shade and nonsense and the occasional PSA, it's you know, this one was kind of more very humanistic in that sense. If that's a word, I think that is. I don't know. But
see, I love her. I thought she was, I mean, we had her on. She was delightful, lovely, and just, you know, was one of those women who just put it out there. It is what it is. But I felt like she was a great addition in like a long time of, you know, other Housewives franchise, because it's always hard to bring in a newbie and have them mesh so well, you know, with the other women. Right. And I feel like she kind of feels like an original, like we've known her for a while, which I like. So,
Well, Ziggy confirms that she did try to destroy her proudly. Okay.
A mess.
And things get really heated. They have a little snip back and forth with each other. And then Andy cuts it off right at the neck and then goes into a package about the kids of New Jersey. I was furious. I was livid over this. Like, first of all, I've said this on the show. I don't care about looking at those kids. I don't care about the kids and their storyline. I'm not interested. I don't care about Joe spending a 10-minute scene at a trampoline park talking about to his daughter. I don't care. Like, it's fine if it's like, you know, when they used to have, they don't do it anymore. But in Bravo, when they used to cut to the commercial, then they came back for like a 40-second like drop-in. You know, and it was always like not some nonsense moment, like Tabitha was yelling at someone and then she like, you know, had to walk out. And then you come right back 2 minutes later and it picks up, like it was a quick one. That's fine for the children. Make that the kids' corner. But I don't need to sit through all these children. This is my problem with these reunions. Let these things play out. I know they're structured as someone who, like, you know, produces these shows myself and has notes and all this. But at the same time, you got to go with that raw emotion. These women are, like, they've been watching from the sidelines. You know, they're ready to go. You put them in. They've got their war paint on. Like, let these things play out. That is my problem
I thought Margaret was ready to go. That's why I said I felt like, you know, there was so much more that could have been said, but then I felt like Siggy would, you know, her feud was over, like, the foyer, and then that's when I was like, okay, now we're just fighting just to fight at this point. But I feel like there were so many more deep-rooted things that I felt like could have, you know, come about. But I love that she said the housewives of Bellevue. I was like, she came prepared. I like
that. Yeah, I want to ask you about that when we get later in the episode, because that, you know, for those like myself, that reference went over my head and I was like, I think Paul will know. So I'm saving that.
Yeah, well, that's more north for me, but I'm like, I took it as like, I'm getting at that. It's probably an area upper North Jersey, that's probably not as great,
desirable. Yeah, not a desirable location. Yeah. Well,
Ramona. Check with Matt.
Ramona Singer calls. Apparently, she's obsessed with Melissa.
Yes, I love that.
Very random.
I know, and I said it kind of was like Ramona was fangirling over Melissa, because I heard people say, like, I think it was like Siggy or someone or Teresa, they're like, she's obsessed with her. And then Melissa's like, yeah, she loves me. And I'm like, they did do lip sync battle together. So I'm like, I guess this is a new friendship that they have developed. Yeah. I don't know. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. It was nice to have a little drop in from a New York housewife. I miss them. So
I would have loved a nice Countess Luann call in from prison.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Asking for help with a friend, and that Melissa was her one call. Now that would have been a turn of events.
Yes. That would have been amazing. That's what we need. We need to make the world a little smaller with these women so that way they interact more. I don't know why they don't do more crossover, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah, no, I think we could totally go off topic with that.
Yeah.
The whole story.
So Teresa confirms that she did ban Melissa from visiting her in prison. And Andy's like, oh, well, you lied to me. You lied to me. Technically, she did. So I wonder what else she lied about.
Nothing. She never lies, Grant.
Okay. And she admits that she did keep a lot of anger inside, which, you know, we saw the denial for years. So it's nice to see that there's, you know, she's acknowledging that. And that she said that she, in so many words, she said that she would be open to a move to Italy, which kind of made me sad, because I thought this is her opportunity to be a strong, independent woman and be like, you know what? That is not my problem. I am staying where I am with my family and with my TV show.
I didn't want her to say that, because I felt like she was putting out in the universe that it was a possibility that he actually was going to get deported. So I'm like, you know, people are ready to take her down. So I feel like if they're like, yeah, go on to Italy, you know, have fun, I'm like, no, you can't put that out in the universe.
Siggy and Margaret, they have their video package where she's called Soggy. And now it's turned into a positive. She's making money off of it. Siggy says it's not that bad that she's called Soggy. What a hypocrite.
I cannot, because I really love the Soggy movement. I feel like I cannot now refer to Siggy as anything but Soggy. Like, I told Margaret that. I was like, it literally now just comes out without even realizing it.
Yep.
It's like a full Soggy movement. I feel like everybody has, you know, been calling her that since Margaret came up with it. I think it was brilliant.
Siggy says that she did not start anything, that it was all Margaret, which is complete nonsense. We know that. So Margaret says that, she says the memorial, the wreath memorial, was not pre-calculated. It's because the others didn't reply to the text. And then, you know, it's all ridiculous. What it comes down to is how Siggy can dish it, but she can't take it. And the difference is that Margaret can dish it and take it all at the same time. And that's very true.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Very true. So,
yes, she had said when we had her on the podcast that she's like, you know, I'm on Housewives of New Jersey. The concierge say, hey, you know, we can get you a wreath or something. You know, she's like, why would I not take that opportunity to do it? I totally don't think it was malicious or, you know, she had planned that prior. I think it was just very natural and organic. And I'm like, you know, that was like, what, her second episode that she was on? Or I was like, why would she even come in already, you know, trying to start something? And just, it, yeah, I felt like, yeah, you know, that was Siggy's one thing to run with something and, you know, try to make it into a bigger issue.
Well, talking about making it into a big issue, she apparently reported Margaret to PETA over the attacks of Jeremy Bear, which I loved. I like picked up on that immediately. So I was so glad that they like acknowledged that, because it was such like an eyesore to me. Like, I'm not too crazy about having stuffed animals in my home. So that was a little nuts.
No, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah.
It's like,
but she had said that, I mean, even I know if you go on Siggy's Twitter and see, she was getting, I don't know the exact name for it, but, you know, the anti-Semitic comment that, you know, Siggy made something out of and that turned into that whole thing. She was getting, like, anti-groups to, like, go after her. And so that's why when Siggy was like, oh, I didn't do anything with PETA, I'm like, for a fact she did, because she had, like, death threats getting to Margaret's house. It just is this whole hot mess that totally, you know, now it's blown outside of the show.
That's probably why they got rid of her. They probably realized that she's doing all these things behind the scenes.
She's a liability at this point.
Yeah. So she, her response, all that stuff that she did apparently is in response to Margaret's comments about the photos that she had in her Boca Raton home, all the pictures of her when they walked in the foyer. So, I mean, it just goes to show, this woman is so petty. This is such a bad look for her. I don't know how Siggy has so many fans on Twitter. I just don't know. Maybe there's not that many.
It's alarming.
I don't know if there's that many. Maybe it's the same three. You know what I mean? And it's just like a lot of retweeting and a lot of endorsements, because it's just like, I don't know. I just don't know how many she, like, I don't get it. I'm not hating on this woman, but for what I'm seeing, she's on the offensive, and the other one's just kind of not doing anything. She's being attacked.
Yeah, I said, or it could be, you know, some fake bot fans. You never know.
No, you never know. Danielle Staub, she walks in dressed like she's going to the Met Gala. I mean, she looked amazing.
Loved it.
I mean, I love it. I will say, she has made the most of her appearances. For what they will give her, she has made the most. So she had her engagement taped. She had a housewarming party, neither of which we've seen. She had sex on camera, which we didn't see, unfortunately. But at least she could make a splash at the reunion.
she gave us, you know, she did provide a lot of stuff, and it's sad that it didn't make, you know, the actual airing for the episode. But I'm thinking that, you know, like you said, I think it's all, they're saving all this good stuff so they can really give her like a pivotal, you know, storyline for next season, and, you know, make her mark full time.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. Prioritize Danielle over Jacqueline, please. I think most people would agree. Now, Caroline, if that takes the show in a better direction, you know, I want to see the show do well. So if that's a better thing, then we'll go with that. But I doubt she's going to do it. So let's just focus on Danielle. That's my opinion. So,
could you imagine if Caroline and Jacqueline are the friend of and Danielle gets full time? That would be great.
She would love that. So would I.
Right.
Oh my God. That, 'cause he's too excited. I wish it was true. Danielle clarifies that Melissa did reach out to her after and around season 2, but it was only to vent about Teresa. And I was glad they acknowledged that, because mm-hmm. I want you to play with that timeline for a minute. I'm glad that they did finally, you know, connect the dots. Danielle says that her daughters were bullied, so they ended up having to move. And what really set things off was how Danielle remembers, she says very clearly, Joe's gay slur. Remember years back when they did that dancing?
Yeah, I knew that was coming, yeah.
Yep, the dancing. And it's true. I mean, another ignorant thing by Joe Giudice. I mean, who can keep count?
But then remember Danielle's friend, Danny, the next season, I think it was season two, he spit out a gay slur against one of the Manzo kids at the Brownstone.
He did.
So, yeah. You know, I get where Danielle's coming from. I also believe, though, I mean, when you go on Housewives or a reality show like this, you're whether your family's on it or not, you're putting yourself in the spotlight where, you know, unfortunately, those things can happen. Because, I mean, look at Teresa's kids. I mean, they go to public school, I'm assuming, and, you know, their mom does things or people say things about their mom. You know, it affects everybody.
Yeah. Have you ever had to ask permission to have sex in a public place?
Yeah.
I love asking these stupid questions on the show.
I cannot believe that, I mean, that she did that. But then I was thinking that, it was a good storyline, you know? So I'm thinking, okay, she's strategic in that sense. But it was like, I felt like it was very casual and brushed over how, you know, everybody's like, Melissa was just like, oh, yeah, it was an intimate group. I'm like, does that make it any better?
No, like, I know, very much a double standard in that sense. Like, they really should have been like, what? But Danielle tells Siggy that she's done inappropriate things. So I'm wondering what that means. I want to know. I want to know, how does Siggy get down and dirty or what?
See, to me, I just feel like when Danielle said that, I love Danielle's clapbacks, by the way, even to, like, Dolores. I just felt like, I was like, all right, Danielle, come on. Like, you know, she was getting the flow going. I was ready for it. But I felt like when she said that about Siggy, it just meant in terms of just Siggy all season. She was just inappropriate.
Her behavior. Yeah,
just, you know, calling people out at the party, saying they're stupid, their IQ is low, you know, saying that Margaret, you know, whatever about her. I feel like everything was inappropriate for sure.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at the cake. Yes, one final time, I hope. And then the humiliation that Melissa had over at Siggy's house when Siggy had to get down on the floor. Still talking about all this, that and more with Paul in a moment. Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. This portion provided by Harry's. Harry's razors help you save money. Harry's can help you save about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver. Take better physical care of yourself in the new year. Harry's products have won countless grooming awards, and they'll keep you looking and feeling great. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. What I love about Harry's is that they have a great shave gel that keeps my skin moisturized, and it allows for a nice, smooth shave. I actually enjoy shaving, which I never did before. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features and the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. Because Harry's owns their own factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more at a drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/grantsrants. Just pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer over there, a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. That trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/grantsrants.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Paul Royston from the Reality Rundown podcast. As he's mentioned, he has spoken with Margaret from the show. And I want to, what episode was that? I want people to listen if they're interested.
So that was episode 13. So check it out.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great. She you know, even work with us with the time difference, because, you know, she's a Jersey girl. So we made sure that we didn't keep her too late. But she was great and, you know, just really was honest and open and told us everything, you know, we wanted to know. And definitely one of my favorites for sure.
That's great. You know, I've been in touch with her. She wants to do the rants. So I'm trying to work out a schedule with her around the second part of the finale or the reunion. So you know, stay tuned. I will let people know if she's really going to be able to do it. I'm working it out with her assistant. So I'd love to say like, oh, we're definitely going to have her, but you know, you just never know, especially with the time difference. Yeah. So I'm working it out.
She's a busy gal too. You know, she's got the Macbeth collection, you know, she's doing it all.
She is making the most of her time. She is doing Leanne Locken 2.0 with just being everywhere and anywhere, booking shows, Sirius XM, CES. She's doing something with RuPaul. I mean, you know, God bless her. She's, you know, just take those 5 minutes and stretch that moment out.
Now that's a duo, Leanne and Margaret. I would love to see those two together.
By the way, side note, is Dallas in production yet or no?
I don't know if they're in full production, but a season 3 is coming for sure.
Oh, I need that show to get in production because I need to know it's in the pipeline. You know, it's down the pipeline. I need to know it's coming. But
yeah.
Anyway, back to Jersey, Kate Gate. One last time. This is the last time I will discuss this. They had the playback video. Dolores, during the playback, says, oh, well, now it's funny. But Siggy, or Soggy, is still pissed. And however, I will say Siggy looked very proud of her behavior and how she handles it from beginning to end. Wouldn't you have any regret at this point?
First of all, that cake looked like you could have broke a tooth on it, because if Teresa's throwing it across the room and it's the body of the cake is still standing, that's a problem. So, you know, I felt like it was totally in the moment. Once again, it was not like premeditated action, as, you know, Soggy likes to throw out there. I feel like it was just in the moment fun. And Teresa, you know, she's stressed. She's a mom. She's got a lot going on. She wanted to throw a little cake letter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the timeline.
I said that very Joe Giudice. I was like, you know?
Yeah, you know? The timeline of the whole thing was Melissa said the cake. She told Siggy the cake was beautiful. She thanked her for it. They ate it. And then Teresa said once she found out that it was plastic, she got angry and threw it. I'm like, well, all right. There's your excuse. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I felt like it was way, because, and another thing, I'm glad that you just said that, because it made me think, right before that, Soggy poured the glass of wine on the table, mm-hmm. and I'm like, where's the difference? So you can throw wine, but throwing the cake is out of this world.
Oh, but it just doesn't make sense. Her excuse is, well, I was amongst friends. Oh, please.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah, so the name calling was the trigger for a lot of the women. The IQ, Jersey trash, all the typical stuff. And so Margaret says that she was trying to cover for Siggy because Siggy was clearly drunk. So that's why she was telling her, all right, tone down, take it down. But that was it. We all saw it. Siggy told her to go F off. And Siggy claims that unlike everybody else, she owns it. And, you know, what she said was wrong, but she owns it. And it literally, like, there was a collective silent groan. Like, I don't think even Andy knew what to say to that. They all just kind of looked at her.
I don't think the world knew what to say to that, to be honest.
Like, are you kidding?
She lost me. I mean, she lost me in the beginning of the season, but she definitely lost me there.
Yeah. The humiliation, I'm glad they brought this up, because I did feel for Melissa. Some people aren't a huge fan of hers, but I think everyone in this moment was like, what the hell is Siggy doing to her? She invited her into her own home, to humiliate her. Melissa said, well, Siggy says the intention was only for her to prove a point, and so that Melissa would feel as though she was wrong in the situation. And she wanted Melissa to acknowledge Siggy's feelings. So she wanted Melissa to acknowledge her feelings. Wow, what poor execution, and you didn't get anything out of it. It didn't even work.
I have to say, I love Melissa. I, you know, always was a Teresa loyalist, so I, you know, couldn't like her, but, you know, there was always something there that you knew, like, deep down inside when all this, like, show stuff was put aside, you knew she was, like, a good person. But I love her. I think she's gorgeous, one. And two, I feel like she's a girl that, like, I would love to, like, hang out with her, drink wine, you know, sit in on a weekend, you know, order some pizza and really just kiki with her. She just is that girl for sure.
the more I said this last week, the more I've seen her like out in the press and stuff like that, like the way she gives interviews, the way she talks about the show and the people on it, she does seem like she's pretty down to earth, more than I thought.
Yeah, she's fun. We just had one of our guests on the episode that just came out this week, where he had said that he was, you know, at an NBC event. I think it was Upfronts, and he's like, you know, a housewife usually has a little crazy, but he's like, Melissa, totally normal, down to earth. And I totally see that with her. You can just tell she really is just one of those girls.
Yeah. Well, Siggy claims that she would not be offended if Melissa did that to her. Oh yeah. If she would not be offended if Melissa humiliated her the way she humiliated Melissa. Really? Really?
Yeah, we don't even need to get into that because we know what the answer is.
Yeah, exactly. So Andy then directs Siggy to apologize to Melissa, which I thought was interesting. And she did, but you know, what's that worth?
Yeah. No. Seriously, it's like no.
Now we get back to Margaret and Siggy insulting one another, calling each other thirsty, pathetic, and then Bellevue. What is Bellevue? What is that? Are we aware of this?
I'm going to have to ask Matt, because Matt, you know, is Bergen County. He lives in the same county as most of the housewives. So that's like his New Jersey expertise. I'm on the south, you know, end of New Jersey, but I'm going to take it that it's probably like a diss if you were like, oh, I'm from Patterson. Like, oh, you're from Patterson, you know. Something along the lines of that. I mean, just the way that Margaret said it, I was like, okay, she's like a Leanne Locken, where she would say it's very Plano. Remember that, like season one?
Yeah.
That was the vibe I was totally getting. So it was like, yeah, I'm looking down on you. So Bellevue, I actually probably should Google it after we get off this. We're done with this.
Well, I'm sure one of the listeners will let me know. So,
yeah.
You know, I hope so. And go feel free.
Yeah, fill us in.
Yeah. So Margaret, she says that Siggy made up her IQ score the way she made up her career with no degree. And this made me laugh because I've been doing a lot of research.
Me too.
I've been doing a lot of research for my current position, which I've been producing podcasts, and I'm looking at different hosts. You know, different people have different backgrounds and different things. And I'm realizing that all these people who label themselves experts have no real formal education or even training in that field. You know, at least if you're going to call yourself an expert, take a course. You know, take a weekend course or an online class. But, you know, you've got people who study general studies and now they're out there telling people, you know, that they're a life coach. I mean, you know, I'm not naming anyone in particular, but I'm just saying there are some people that are like, what are you doing? Like, you really don't have that background. It's like, I mean, should I call myself a housewives expert? Podcast expert?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm just going to start calling myself a doctor. I'm going to call a housewives PhD. I'm going to give myself my own doctorate.
Housewives connoisseur, if you will.
Yes.
I lost it when Soggy was, I'm pretty sure she said this. Either I read it or she said it, but I think she said it, that she made a lot of money and she was super successful. I was like, oh, here we go.
Oh, like, she said totally. It. Yeah. She said that you're jealous of the money that I have and my life and all that. Ooh, that's always the word. That's you can't come back from stuff like that. That's always a real desperate one end of an argument. Like when you're just writing people off for be jealous of your own success, that makes nobody look good.
No, and I said, you know, that was kind of like NeNe Leakes season 4, where the fans were like, all right, sweetie, tone it down a little bit. You know, I'm very rich, that type of whole, you know, era. I was like, yeah, it just was like, it proved the fact that what everybody says about her, it's like, you know, she really does feel like she's on this pedestal and the rest of them are not.
Yeah, I can't even go with it with NeNe. Melissa, she says she's baffled by Siggy and Dolores' friendship with Kim D. And Siggy, in another lame argument, I mean, this girl doesn't know how to fight. In another lame argument, she goes, well, you know, you guys could make up with Kim D, so how am I supposed to know? I mean, everybody knows they're not going to make up with her. And even if she thinks that, why would she ever think that the stuff that Kim D has said and attacked that woman's business and all that? Is she not going to do that? I guess someone could say, well, Danielle, but I don't think Danielle cut to the core as much as Kim D has over the amount of time in which Kim D has attacked them.
Yeah, no, I think Kim D is definitely in a different ballpark with Danielle, because I just feel like Danielle, to me, was never close with any of the women where she would, like, maybe I'm wrong, but reveal their, like, secrets, you know, where Kim D is somebody who, like, you could be friends with somebody for 10 years, and as soon as you're not friends with them anymore, she tells everybody your business, you know? That's how she comes off to me. So, yeah, I think they're not in the same ballpark to compare.
Well, enter Kim D. She walks in, and this, you know, she lights Teresa right up like a Christmas tree.
So ready for it.
Like, she was, like, she literally came alive, like, over, like, in a split second. She was on the edge of that chair, back straight, finger out.
I said when I was texting you that I was like, that's my, like, that's our girl Teresa. Like, that's what, you know. She brought it back, like, you know, I'm waiting for an Andy to get pushed in the chair again, you know, like the good stuff.
But let me give this advice. This is my opinion only, but this needs to be it now for Kim G. I think this is it. She's there. She's at the reunion. Yeah. You know, she's created another argument. We've had to sit through yet another posh fashion show. Like, we've got to get other things going on this show besides reverting to old tricks. You know, and if we're going to revert to old tricks, then where the hell is Kim G? Like, just, you know, let's just go all the way back, because Kim G and Danielle have unfinished business. So, like,
That's a whole nother season worth of content.
Exactly. But I mean, when it comes to this, like, let's try to move the show forward. I mean, I think this is one of the hardest shows to be a fan of. You know, not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but the show isn't on that much. The casting is difficult. It's slow moving. They've now cut the episode orders. Like, it's hard to be a Jersey fan. And, you know, I just feel like let's try to do something a little bit more fresh than just these posh fashion shows.
See, I'm kind of like, now I'm like nostalgic with Housewives because I watched it for so long that I got to a point where I was like, okay, how many times can these women go to the same thing and not expect for something to happen?
Right.
Now in 2018 watching it, I'm like, oh, I love me. You know, now, like, it's like a good soap opera. Like, you know, if they're going into this, you know, fashion show that we've seen countless times, you know, something good's going to come out of it. So, in those, you know, situations, it's always nice to look forward to something like that. But I agree. I think Kim, you know, this time around, I just feel like it should be like the closure, like the final, like, okay, we're done.
As long as they have someone to back it up and they have someone else to be there that can, you know, bring the drama, because I don't want to see a bunch of kumbaya either. But I mean, I just feel like from a production standpoint, we just can't keep relying on Kim D for like 8 years. You know what I mean? Like,
she must have a nice paycheck for what she's been doing for them.
I know. They're
she's been working.
We're going to have to come up with some of a hashtag here. What the hell can we say for this episode? We always have a little something at the end. Ramona called, Soggy was in full force. They discussed the bear at the top of the stairs, PETA,
Hashtag Housewives of Bellevue. I think that's a new city that we should invest in.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Let's do that. I'll look it up too. Hashtag Housewives of Bellevue. Yeah.
To come back and regroup, and then we'll have to come back and really figure out, you know, what's going on with Bellevue and, you know, what we can make of this so-called little small town in New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, thanks for chatting with us. We'll put on the, we'll use the tweet with the hashtag Housewives of Bellevue. And with any luck, we'll have Margaret Josephs on the show next week. And even if she doesn't recap the finale or the part two reunion, if I can get her on here, we'll do an extra special little something anyway with her. So if it all works out, we should be able to hear from her. But make sure you check out part two of this reunion here as we finish up Jersey on Grant's Rants Recap. And check out the main show, of course. We just had episode number 81, which was, we just had episode number 80, which was a great show. I'm working on episode 81 right now. I'm deep into it. So that's going to be a good one coming out soon. And like us on Facebook, tell a friend. And that'll do it for us. Thanks again, Paul, for coming on and ranting with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. No, I'm always down to talk about a rant about some housewives.
Yeah, you're perfect for this one. So thank you again. And we'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rant Small Talk. Want more? Join the full conversation on Grant's Rant's Hollywood Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and in the links below.